Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This is the Manny Fry Show.
Well, I appreciate CNN, but I'll tell you, you know, Republicans own most of the media that they control, Fox News and X or Meta, whatever you call it. Right now the president has purchased or allowed his allies to purchase TikTok. We are hard pressed to get our message out.
That is Congresswoman Gwen Moore, a Democrat from Wisconsin, saying that it is harder for Democrats to get their message out now. I don't know. Is there any truth to that? It's one of the reasons that we asked you in the poll today. It's kind of related, but not exactly the same thing. Is the media landscape shifting? No. The poll is American culture shifting? Yes, rightward. Yes, leftward. Or it's not moving. And so we're asking you what you think about that question, because I think the argument could be made in a lot of ways for a lot of directions. We're kind of all over the place. And yes, it's a little bit more than just political, although the answers are very political in nature. So I get that if you're like, yeah, American culture is shifting, but I don't really know how to answer this. Is it rightward or leftward? Because it's not quite that. You know, just you got to pick one of them, though, and not moving at all is the third option.
Listening to her saying that it's harder for them to get their message out, at first I was like, what are you talking about? And then I realized something. Yes, Republicans do have are able to use X and Fox News. I mean, Democrats still have MSNBC, CNN, all of those other locations. But the Republican message is getting out more now than it ever has in history. So are they having trouble getting their message out? I don't think the Democrats are having trouble getting their message out. I think they're having trouble combating their message against the Republicans' messaging, which is something a battle they never had to fight before.
Yeah.
Before, they would just say whatever, and then that was the only message you heard because they controlled all the media outlets, and so you couldn't really get a Republican message out. Now that Republicans can get their message out, people are looking at both, and it looks like they're choosing the Republican message.
I'll give her this, Gwen Moore, congressman from Wisconsin there. I'll give her this. She listed some really prominent right-leaning media. But beyond that, that's it.
Yes.
I mean, it's not as if she's like, oh, let me give you the laundry list, and I just gave you a couple examples. She gave you the whole list.
All of it.
So I think what you're saying, though, is true, Brad, that the overall media landscape has shifted because it shifted away from TV. Mm-hmm. You know, when the TV stations were the conglomerates, they controlled everything. Maybe not the local news so much, but the national news, they controlled the national narrative. They almost did it with the internet too,
yeah,
with the social media sites, because so many people get their news through social media, and there's what, 5 or 6 maybe total social media if you include YouTube in that, which it's not quite social, but
right,
it's where people go. If you include all of the major ones where people kind of watch stuff and consume information, the left had controlled all of them up until Elon Musk bought Twitter. And that cracked the piggy bank.
Yeah.
I mean, it broke open, and then Zuckerberg was like, I'm not really involved in this either. Let me come to the inauguration.
He said, whoa, I don't want to get in trouble here.
Exactly. So things have shifted. And so the poll question is sort of related to that. It's really more about American culture, though. Do you think it's shifting? Let us know. We'll monitor that throughout the show. As usual with my hosting days, I like to talk about polling, and I like to talk about the direction of the country, the direction of politics. And I pulled this article up from USA Today. The title is this. Keep in mind, I just said USA Today. This is an opinion article from USA Today. Democrats hate Trump. Polls show it's not enough to beat the GOP, though. It says, with midterm elections just about a year away, the signs of a blue wave are looking, well, grim. At least that's what the polls are showing. Democrats have spent much of 2025 trying to dust off their defeats last November and figure out how to stay relevant in a federal government they no longer control. Side note here, that is why I think they are so willing to die on this hill of government shutdown. Mm. They probably are going to lose this battle in terms of public opinion. That's the way it looks like it's shifting anyway. It's happening slowly. It's not going to happen overnight. But we're 20 days in, and it is kind of starting to shift that way, it looks. But they are willing to just die on the hill because they can't do anything. They can't win the messaging war. They can't win through the courts anymore. They keep getting slapped down because they're trying to use activist judges to get things done. That's not working, mm-hmm. although it is, you know, they're still trying it in certain parts. But it's just, they're so frustrated. If you're trying to use your power and it's not working, that's where Democrats are right now. That's where 30%, at least 35% of the country is. That's like the hardcore, never vote red, always vote blue, no matter who, Democrats are frustrated right now. But there's a lot of people in the middle that are going, kind of going, well, I'm not really a part of that, but I'm not a Republican. Where do I land? Anyway, this kind of talks about those people too. It says the problem is most Americans aren't impressed with what they're seeing. Democrats continue getting historically low marks among voters, and it's hard to see them turning things around by November 2026. The Democrat Party was in a much better position to take back Congress during President Donald Trump's first term. And it's helpful to compare where the party is now versus its standing in 2017. I talked about this on my show over the weekend, but I pulled more clips from Harry Enten talking on CNN about where Democrats stand now in the polling versus this exact moment in Donald Trump's first term going into the first midterm.
17, 2018, right? Because that's sort of the baseline. That was, of course, the first Trump term. That was where Democrats were sort of keeping pace. You go back to April, look at the generic congressional ballot. What'd you see? You see plus three Democrats in 2025 in April. You see plus three Democrats back in April of 2017. Now jump over to this side of the screen. What happens? Well, the Democrats are no longer keeping pace with the pace that they were setting back in 2017, 2018. You look back in 2017, you saw that the Democrats had leaped up to an 8-point advantage. I remember covering this. I remember a lot of folks, including myself, saying, you know what? Republicans look pretty decent right now in terms of the fact that they had the House, they had the Senate, they had the presidency, but things were likely going to flip. And I was looking for the same signs this year. The bottom line is it hasn't happened, Kate Baldwin. It hasn't happened. Democrats have stayed basically steady. They have fallen off the pace. Democrats were way out ahead back in 2017 on the generic congressional ballot. And now we're basically looking at Democrats ahead. But again, they are so far in back of the pace that they set back there. And so I think what a lot of folks are seeing, folks like myself, are saying, wait a minute.
Okay, so what does that speak to? This speaks to the effectiveness and popularity of Donald Trump, ultimately, mm-hmm. is what this speaks to. Going back to this USA Today article, it says a recent analysis of polling data by NBC News shows what a pickle Democrats are in ahead of next year's midterms. Of course, in the next year, many things could change for Democrats and Republicans. Very true. As of now, however, the wave Democrats achieved in 2018 looks out of reach. Democrats got their shutdown, but they gave Trump and Doge a big win as of October 27th, 2017. The Real Clear Politics average on the generic congressional ballot showed a 9-point lead for Democrats at this point. Harry Enten, if you're just listening to that very closely, yeah. I know there's a lot of numbers, but if you're listening to that very closely, he actually gave more favorable numbers than these because he's using just CNN data mostly. Mm-hmm. Now, he'll use some averages sometimes, but this article from USA Today is using a bigger average from Real Clear Politics, and it actually shows things are worse for Democrats than even what he was saying there. As of October 17th, things don't look quite so rosy this time. The same RCP average shows that Democrats are only up. Get the comparison here. Yeah. Harry, I'm going to say it again here because I know we're numbers. It's tough to listen to. But Harry Enten said, at this point in 2017, Democrats were ahead on a generic ballot by 7 points. At this point, they're ahead by 3, is what he said.
Yeah.
NBC News' sort of conglomerate and RCP average said that at this point, Democrats were ahead by 9 points.
So more.
And are only ahead in the average right now by 1.6 points. That's within the margin of error.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost tied. So you're talking, this is really bad news. When you are the party of resist, you need to have big numbers of people going, I don't like this. I don't like what's happening. Or at least if you're indifferent, you're kind of indifferent with your nose turned up. Mm-hmm. And that is not happening. Earlier this year, the party, as in the Democrat Party, scored its lowest positive rating, 27%, in the history of NBC News' poll. And even though Republicans aren't wildly popular either, they continue to outscore Democrats, even though they're in power. That's rare. Mm-hmm. In 2017, the Democrats had the advantage. And as an aside, it says for the liberals who like to point out and laugh that Trump's approval rating is in perspective is in order. Since the end of July, Trump's second term approval is higher than that of former presidents Barack Obama and George W. Bush at the same time during their second terms. Now, we talked about resist. Here's what USA Today says. Not only is the party unpopular, an October CBS News YouGov poll found that 64% of those surveyed used the word weak as the top word to describe Democrats. You want to know why they're dying on this government shutdown hill? It's one of the only things they can do. They don't really care. They're just trying to do something.
Trying to not look weak.
Trying to not look weak. So what's a Democrat to do? The answer seems to be fight and resist, which is exactly what they're doing at any turn they can. Congressional Democratic leaders are banking that the ongoing government shutdown, nearing its third week, it's now in its third week, will make them look tough and strong. Yet, forcing the government to a standstill is a risky move. Mm-hmm. And it's already starting to sour for Democrats. This isn't me. This is USA Today.
Yeah.
At first, voters seem to pin more of the blame on Republicans and Trump. That gap is narrowing quickly, given that it is pretty obvious that it's the Democrats' fault for not signing on to a simple bill that would keep the government running while the parties work out their differences. Only 6 points now separate the Republicans from the Democrats as to which party deserves the shutdown blame. That's an older poll. What you just heard in the first hour that I played from Harry Enten says that it's pretty much even. Over the weekend, Democrats went into full resistance mode with a second round of No Kings protests across the country. And Democrats may detest Trump, but that alone will not build the wave they'll need in 2026. I say all that because I love polling, first of all, and I love data. But because these midterms are going to be very, very important. If we are indeed in a time of change, like we all kind of feel like we are, like this is going to be a time that hopefully you look back on and say, oh, man, you should have been alive in the Trump era. Come over here, grandson, and let me tell you what that was like. We all hope that that's the case because then, A, we will have come out the other side better. And then, B, we'll know that this isn't just a permanent crazy that we're in because it is very chaotic right now in America. Two very, very different sides. But I'm going to make the case to you in the next segment that we are actually about to undergo, and this actually doesn't have to do with Donald Trump. That's what's amazing about it. We're about to undergo a real political earthquake. And I'm talking politics, not culture. That's the poll is culture shifting. I'm talking politics here. That you're talking a major political upheaval that is in the works right now that could shift the center of gravity politically. For a generation. I mean it that big. So if you're listening right now and you're like, okay, he's got my attention. Good. That was the goal. I'm trying to get your attention because I really am convinced as somebody who watches data and watches polling and watches all this stuff to see what the direction is that this thing that I'm going to share with you, which you may already know a little bit about, but I'm going to kind of bring it all together in the next segment to show you how this center of gravity is going to shift rightward for an entire generation based on what's happening right now. So stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. I'll come back and I'll paint that picture for you, starting with a tweet from Stephen Miller. Stay here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
All right, so I teased it up and said the center of gravity is shifting politically in America, and it's shifting rightward. I aim to prove myself right in this segment and show you exactly how that's happening and how it's not short term. This is probably generational, and that is something to definitely keep an eye on. There are three ways this is happening, and none of them have to do with the polling on midterms. That's why I wanted to get that out of the way first, because a lot of people are looking at the polling on midterms for next year and saying, wow, that's actually pretty good for Republicans. Could they hold the House? Could they not? I don't know. Based on the polling, yeah, it's very possible they could. I've seen some data that suggests that the national vote, like the generic Dem versus Republican national vote, needs to be at about +3 for Democrats under the current situation to barely take back the House. Now, that goes down to individual races, mostly in those swing districts, but that's about where their watermark needs to be. And they actually want it to be a lot higher than that. Otherwise, it would be pretty close.
Does that math change with redistricting?
That's exactly where I'm going, Brad. That is number one in our stop on the way the politics of America are going to be shifting here shortly. And actually are. That's already started. So Texas has done it. Missouri is currently doing it. California is going to try to counter. Oregon might counter. I think Maryland maybe has one seat. But for the most part, it's Republican states that have the most to gain. Here's Harry Enten talking about how redistricting, which is happening now, could shift everything rightward and how many seats Republicans stand to gain.
That's what I was going to ask. One change from that cycle is also this mid-decade redistricting effort that we've been covering so much. Add that in, and what do you get?
Okay, so we add that, and we take a look at the national picture, but then we, of course, taking a look at the state legislators, right? They are potentially changing things, and there are two things that are going on here. First off, net mid-decade redistricting gains. If both sides max out at this point, there are more Republican gains possible than Democratic gains. Yes, the Democrats might try to counter a Texas and a California, but you go along in the different states, and basically Democrats run out of room where Republicans are able to gain and gain and gain. If both sides max out, we're probably looking at a GOP gain of plus 7 House seats.
All right, I'm going to write that down, a GOP gain of plus 7. Now, it doesn't mean that that will be exactly what it is, because let's say it gets struck down somehow. There's some legal proceedings going on trying to stop that from happening in Missouri right now. Republicans continue to push on. Good on ya. So glad to see ya. Where were ya in 2021? But it's okay. You're catching up now. Good job. Other states, Florida, Ohio, they are kind of waiting in the wings to see what they're, we're waiting in the wings to see what they're going to do. And they are actually kind of dragging their feet a little bit. So are they actually all going to do this? Maybe not. I'm going to predict that they don't. But if they did, that's plus 7. Now, even if they don't do it this year, which would affect this midterms, they will do it eventually.
Yeah.
So let's say they wait until the next census or whatever, and they do it after 2030. This will happen at some point, but it may not just happen right now. They're being very bold by doing it right now. So let's say that's GOP plus 7. Okay, there you go. Now, that's the first one, redistricting. That's how the center of gravity is shifting. When I say center of gravity really quickly, what I'm saying is politics typically, Donald Trump aside, tends to find the middle and then moves from it to get elected.
Yeah.
So if you're running in a Republican district, you tend to find what is the middle so that I'm normal, and then I move toward what my district believes, and then I kind of find that spot. Same on the left, they kind of move to the left of middle, although there's a lot more way far left than there used to be on the Democrat side. But typically that's the way politics works, is the middle kind of controls everything and everybody around it, it makes the laws, and it, and the more the middle moves in one direction, then that's where the country goes. So that's the first one, is redistricting. The second is what's before the Supreme Court right now. Oral arguments were last week concerning the Voting Rights Act, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which would, well, right now, it forces racial gerrymandering. So gerrymandering, drawing districts based on people's race, is currently the way that that Voting Rights Act is interpreted.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court is discussing either removing race from redistricting at all or changing the way it is. I watched that case very closely because I'm into this stuff, and it looked like to me that Gorsuch, Alito, Kavanaugh, and Thomas were all in favor of getting rid of it entirely based on race because it's racist. And then, of course, the other side would be Kagan, Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. They were all in favor of keeping it because it's, I mean, I said this last week, nobody actually cares about the race aspect of this. It's all the political.
Right.
That's only what people care about, including myself. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's why we're talking about it, because it affects the politics. So then you have these two justices in the middle that nobody really knows how they're going to land, Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett. And so people think that if one of them gets on board with gutting it, the whole thing will be gutted. If they don't, then they'll probably restrict it, which means that there's a lot of possible outcomes there. But let's say that they actually do remove the Voting Rights Act from law. The Supreme Court says, no, that's racist, or it's sunsetted. When you passed it in 1965, obviously race relations are different now than they were in 1965, so that law no longer applies. Here's how that would change the politics again in the direction of the GOP.
That doesn't even take into account the potential gutting of the VRA that is right now going to be in front of the Supreme Court. If you add that in, you
voting
could
right.
be
the
looking...
Voting Rights Act.
What? Yes,
voting
exactly right. Right. The Voting Rights Act. If you add that in, then you could be looking about adding 10, 12, 15, 17 on top of this 7 seats. So I think a lot of folks like myself are looking at this. We're seeing, hey, wait a minute. Those national polls are, Democrats are not gaining the way that we expected.
Okay, so there's the numbers for you. He said on top of redistricting, which was saying, we're saying 7, that could add 10, 15 seats. You're talking about, if you take even a rather conservative approach there, you're talking about 20 to 25 or more seats that would shift Republican in the House.
Yeah.
And you're talking about semi-permanently there. I mean, nothing's ever permanent. But you're talking about that would move those seats for a generation to the right. And could Democrats ever catch up? No, they could not catch up in the current environment unless there's some sort of sweeping issue that everybody in America goes, oh, wait, moving back left here. But that doesn't happen that often,
no.
Especially in the current climate.
Well, and the, like, with their current politics and their current climate, yeah, they would be hosed. They would have to change the core of their politics and their political beliefs to become more moderate.
You got it. You got exactly what I'm going for, Brad. If this happens, Democrats would have to see the writing on the wall as a party, as voters, whatever. You'd have to see the writing on the wall and say, at the current state of things, our current stances on social issues, economic issues, whatever it may be, we will never win again. So they will have to move right. They'll have to go back to being something like Blue Dog Democrats, or the moderates in the party would have to take back over. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I know that the far left part of the party would just wither on the vine. Mm-hmm. And we're staring this down right now. This actually is happening. Now, there's one more aspect to this. I'm going to read the Stephen Miller tweet that I mentioned going into this segment. He says, as of, this was just a couple days ago, posts a thing about the Voting Rights Act and a map of what it would change. Mm-hmm. So you're hearing it, but you can't see this. Democrats in the South would face almost a complete wipeout if the Supreme Court guts the Voting Rights Act. Stephen Miller says, how many people just realized that Dems had as many as 20 extra seats based on years of unconstitutional race-based gerrymandering? 20 extra seats for my entire lifetime.
That's a heck of a way
to put
that.
Brad's entire lifetime, that they've been using this stuff for a long time. The redistricting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the GOP have so much more room to gain? Because they haven't been playing that game. They haven't been playing that game as well as Democrats have. So Democrats can max it out a little bit more, but Republicans can max it out a lot more. So they have a lot more to gain. Same is true of the Voting Rights Act. There's one more aspect of this that nobody's talking about, though, because those two things are actually happening right now.
Yeah.
They're not theoretical. They're happening. But Stephen Miller also revealed that Democrats got 20 to 30 seats from counting illegals in the census. Nobody's talking about that one yet. 20, in his quote is, 20 to 30 of House Democrat seats wouldn't exist except for illegal aliens counted in the census.
That's crazy.
Now, that's another one that's going to be before the Supreme Court. I can't tell you exactly when, but I do know that that's making its way up and probably will be decided by the Supreme Court. And if they decide to narrow that or eliminate that in any way, again, that adds more seats to Republicans.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about what I said at the beginning of the segment and the end of the last, generational transformation of politics.
Well, is it really a generational transformation of politics, or is it a like shift to an actual representation of the people of the United States?
Well, both of those things are true. You can put it either way and both would be true, because it is a shift, but it's a shift back to the way things really would be on an even playing field.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been.
Because what I'm looking at it. What you're telling me, especially with those last few things, the Democrats have been using the law to their advantage. It's not illegal what they've been doing unless the Supreme Court strikes it down. They've been using the law to their advantage. Same thing with counting illegals in the census. That's legal right now. So it's not like they're doing illegal things, but that's a misrepresentation of their voting base to maintain power and to make their party seem bigger and more popular than what it actually is. Because if that changes and everything shifts to the right, that means that the United States was being misrepresented based on a couple things that get corrected legally.
Brad, I'm glad that you said that, because my hope was going in, like, I don't host every day, obviously. Mm-hmm. When Annie has a day off, I step in and we have some fun. And I love talking about this kind of stuff. My hope was in sharing that I would be able to paint it well enough to show how big of a deal that would be. Because the whole message of the entire Democrat Party, if that's true, will have to shift.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have to completely change. And what does the country look like if you no longer have the media and the Democrat Party saying really radical, far-left, progressive stuff all the time? I don't know. It's been like that my whole life.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what a shift of the political center to the right that hard, this suddenly, this quickly, would look like. But I think it's something that we have to watch, because it's the kind of thing that actually does change the culture. Mm-hmm. It changes the politics and everything downstream from that. So thank you, Brad. I hope that kind of makes sense. That was my attempt to paint what's happening in politics in America right now and how it's probably going to affect the next generation. It's a huge, huge deal. Anyway, we'll take a short break and we'll come back. with something maybe a little bit lighter, still politically related. Arnold Schwarzenegger. We got some sound of him talking about wanting to give you a new holiday. Stick around for that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
I'll be at the party Thursday, but I'll be listening to this song in a corner by myself with my feet up and sunglasses on with a hoodie.
You can smoke a stogie too?
Maybe. Or I'll pretend I am because it looks cool.
Yeah. No, for the look?
Yeah, just for the look. And I'll just be begging people to bring me mozzarella sticks because I'm not going to be talking. I'm just going to be too cool.
It's not actually a stogie. It's a mozzarella stick with a little bit of marinara.
It is on fire. All right. You want another holiday? Because Arnold Schwarzenegger thinks you should have another holiday. Here's what he's proposing.
We're talking here about saving democracy. What I suggest that the way we save democracy nationwide is to really have a proposal like, for instance, the Save Democracy Act. It's just an idea. Where we go and make election day a holiday so that everyone has time to go out and go to the election.
Well, again, this is something Democrats are all for and Republicans are all against.
Here's the second point.
Okay.
Second point, you have to have fair redistricting, to have independent redistricting commission in each state all over the United States.
Yeah.
And number three...
except they won't do it.
And number three, you have a voter ID. So that when you go and vote, people should know that you are that person.
Yes.
Those are all things that they have back in Europe.
So a few different points he's making there. The last one, voter ID, seems like so no-brainer that I'm not sure how you could be against that.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that he would say the first one and everybody would clap, and then he'd say the second one, everybody clapped, and he's like, voter ID. No claps.
But Bill Maher's like, yes, of course.
Yeah.
So, okay. The one about the Independent Redistricting Commission, great idea.
I like the
idea. Love the idea. Doesn't work.
No.
You know why? It already didn't work. They already had them.
Right.
They didn't work.
What ends up happening with an independent council, and I'm using air quotes for those of you listening on the radio and not watching on YouTube, independent councils are never independent because what will end up happening is a partisan of one party or the other will take over that council and shift that council. And they'll say, oh, yeah, we're just doing everything independently. But what ends up happening is you get a very biased district and there's no recourse because it's a bureaucracy for the voters to change that.
Exactly. So you can't. So even if you don't like it, you can't change it once you add it. Mm-hmm. And they don't work because right now there are several states with these. California is one of them. Well, California has like 40% Republican voters, maybe even higher than that. But 40% of those districts aren't Republican. So how do you decide what's fair? What's the metric that you even are using to decide what's fair? Even if you are completely nonpartisan.
It's such a subjective
standard. You have to figure out what fair even means. So it's a great idea. It's a nice thing to be able to go on a talk show if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger and say, we should do this. And then people go, yeah, well, that sounds great, because it does sound great. It's just in practicality. It's literally been done and didn't work. So
right.
I don't really know what else to tell you there, Arnold, or people who argue for that, because it's a nice thing to say and it always sounds good.
Yeah.
But then once you dig in a little bit, just like so many bad arguments, you dig in a little bit, you find out, oh, the substance went away immediately. The first thing, though, that he said there was making a national holiday out of vote day, election day. And I will say there's a few different issues that I have with that. One is that, are you just talking about in the general election for national elections? Are you talking about state elections? Are you talking about any election? Because there's a lot of elections throughout a year, and that would be a lot of holidays.
Yeah.
But let's say he's just talking about federal elections that happen once every 4 years or 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
Either way, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that's what he was saying. What do you think about that proposal?
I have no problem with it. I think the excuse that it's really hard to go vote is a cop out. That's not an excuse. I know that your employer is supposed to allow you off work to go vote and then come back. That is in the law. So you can't say, "Well, my employer won't let me go vote. I got to go to work, blah blah blah." No, if you want to vote, you can make your way to the polling place and vote. I am very much for it, provided it's a one-day thing and we get rid of all mail-in voting.
Oh, I like your terms, and they will be acceptable. I will accept that. We will pass that along. But here's my argument against it. And this actually came mostly from when Jay Ashcroft was the Missouri Secretary of State. He went on one of our shows. I don't think it was Annie's. It might have been Reardon, but it might have been Mark Cox, too. I don't remember. He was talking to somebody here, and I listened to him talk about that subject, because people would talk about it on the state level, too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, should we make Election Day a state holiday and stuff? And he was like, here's why that's a bad idea. Everybody thinks that it would make turnout higher. He said he thinks, and data suggests, they would actually do the opposite, mm-hmm. because when is Election Day always? What day of the week?
It's on a Tuesday.
People would take off Monday and make that super long weekends and do a lot of travel, and they would actually miss Election Day,
mm-hmm.
is what they think would happen. Furthermore, so it would drive down turnout, and you're probably driving down turnout of people who are the most mobile, so they're already able to go to the polls more, and they're traveling. But he also said that he thinks that when there's been trials of this, because there's always little pockets that have tried these things, that they have a hard time getting election workers because people have the day off, and because they have usually, and then we're talking about longer weekends, people just aren't as willing to do it. And I can't tell you exactly why that is, but that he cited that several times. He said, look, you just have a harder time getting people to work the polls when it's a holiday. You'd think, again, there would be a reverse. You'd have more people available to work the polls.
But people don't want to work on their day off.
I guess that's what it is. I don't know. But I thought both of those points kind of stuck with me. And I'm like, that rings true. I haven't seen it in action, but it sounds like it would be.
Well, how quickly would it become like an American holiday, like a 4th of July or Veterans Day or Memorial Day, where people are like, all right, so it's Election Day. We'll throw some flags out, put some red, white, and blue lights on our house and barbecue and invite friends over.
Yeah. Yeah, it would become that, although it's November usually. So
right.
I mean,
you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. I think what Arnold's saying there is, for the most part, nice ideas that under scrutiny just don't seem to really stand up a whole lot.
I think what he's saying there is a great starting point. If we think that we have an issue and if these are some issues, let's start here and start talking about how we can implement something that will get close to that and accomplish the goals that we want.
Yeah. I should end with this as we wrap up this segment and move back into I don't know what we're going to do, Wiggins America next, but there was one more topic that Ethan had that I said, oh, we got to talk about that. It's about Elon Musk and Kamala Harris and the relationship therein. I'm going to highlight this comment, though, as we go to break here. Joe says, didn't Arnold call all of us schmucks? Yes, he did. He
during COVID.
During COVID, man, he called all of us idiots for questioning anything. Get the vaccine.
He told us to stay home from, you know, he's like, what's the big deal about leaving as he's smoking a big expensive cigar in his jacuzzi in his multi-million dollar home?
Which is exactly what Lit Cigar Lounge is going to be like this Thursday for me. Smoking a stogie. I'm going to find some water, even if it's a puddle. I'm going to take a bath in it. That's a good bookend to remind you that we have a party this Thursday. So 971talk.com/events if you want to RSVP. Stick around. Ethan's back. We're not going to play his intro to be nice to him, but he had a story that we didn't get to during Wiggins America / Ethan's disappointing segment. And I invited Ethan back because I'm a gentleman.
That's why you did.
I'm just going to referee you two. Have at it.
I don't like you. What do you have to say about that, Brad?
I'll allow it.
Point, Ethan.
Dang it. I didn't know it was that easy to get a point.
I need those wristbands that the wrestling refs wear that hold up to give a point, one red and one green.
What's the Elon Musk, Kamala Harris connection?
So, how do I best explain this? So, I guess I'll just go ahead and start with the beginning. And basically how this starts.
Start at the end, then do the beginning, then the middle.
How this started, I'm going to do it the exact opposite like of how you would do it, is, to sum it up, Vice President Kamala Harris took a swipe at Joe Biden, calling the 2021 decision to exclude Elon Musk from the White House electric vehicle event a huge mistake. Comments that came from Biden while he is undergoing, I guess, the radiation therapy for prostate cancer. Harris, who appeared Tuesday at Fortune's Most Powerful Women's Summit in Washington, D.C., said she believed the snub, which was widely seen as a political favor to organized labor, was mishandled and had lasting repercussions on the relationship, I guess, between Musk and their party. It was quoted, she said, "I write in the book that I thought it was a big mistake not to invite Elon Musk when we did a big EV event. I mean, here he is, the major American manufacturer of extraordinary innovation in this space. The former vice president has made numerous public appearances, we know, in recent weeks to promote 107 days. Ryan, have you read 107 days?
No, I'm only like 100 days in.
Okay, gotcha.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Is she saying that she would have handled that differently and advised Biden to handle that differently and they chose not to?
That's what it seems like, which is kind of funny considering that during the campaigning, she said that she wouldn't do anything different than Joe Biden would have done in office.
Yeah,
but it's
on
funny,
the view.
All of the things that she's saying now, or I guess now she, all of those things are coming out. Oh, I would have done this differently. I didn't like that he did this. All that's coming out after the election. Isn't that funny how that works?
It is funny, especially in light, and I didn't know this was going to happen today, but I was driving in here and I saw that Corinne Jean-Pierre is saying, well, I'm not even going to be a Democrat anymore. I want to be an independent. For the exact opposite reason that Kamala Harris is saying there. Not associated with Elon Musk or
how
EVs.
How they treated him.
But how they treated Biden. Basically, she's saying there's a lot of things over and over. And I think this was going on behind the scenes. At least that's the rumor mill was always that Kamala and Joe Biden did get along. And they didn't like each other. And their teams didn't like each other. And now she's criticizing, finally openly criticizing a move. But Corinne Jean-Pierre said they treated Biden. They being like the media and the establishment, not Republicans, but probably George Clooney is who she's talking about. They treated Biden so poorly that I can't even stand to call myself a Democrat anymore. She's becoming an independent.
Is she really talking about the media or is she talking about like the people surrounding Joe Biden, like immediately surrounding Joe Biden?
It's not clear to me because they did this big Newsweek expose because she's releasing a book too, speaking of which. And you know, she's trying to drum up a little bit of support for her book. Of course, that's what you do. But I'm not going to sit there and read that whole stinking interview with Corinne Jean-Pierre. What good would that be? So I'm reading excerpts, and that's what I'm gathering, is that she's just so disappointed in the way the party treated Joe Biden, because literally they kicked him out and forced him to not be the candidate, at least publicly. It looks he said he was bowing out, but we all saw what happened. We saw the letter in the newspaper from the Clooneys and the fundraiser the week before where they all went, uh-oh, this guy's in trouble. So it's just surprised that like those two different people would be having an opposite reaction to the Biden administration.
You know, it is kind of funny. And when Jen Psaki was asked about this at the time, she basically kind of told you without telling you and said, I'll let you draw your own conclusion as to why Elon Musk wasn't invited.
Yeah, I remember
that. I think what maybe Kamala's doing, and maybe this is Kamala's recognizing, I should have done some of these things while I was in office with the president, but we don't know. We have zero idea what was going on behind the scenes, what her involvement was, what her leadership was. But I think perhaps she's saying, well, if that would have gone differently, if we would have invited him there, maybe his involvement with Trump in that the most recent election would have looked a little differently.
So. You're not going to hear me say this very often, but Kamala is actually right about this.
Yeah.
They should have invited Elon Musk to an EV subsidy party or whatever.
Feels
that
like
thing
a
was.
Slam dunk.
But the thing about Joe Biden is he's always been Union Joe, and Tesla doesn't use unionized workers.
But she's saying politically it was even a stupid move, and you're saying politically that's why he did it.
That's why he did it.
But they did this over and over, and I don't know that Kamala would have done much different. She seems like she kind of go with the flow with whoever's around her. But they did this to RFK.
Mm-hmm.
These things cost them a lot of votes. I mean, the
purity
RFK
test.
Thing. He says he reached out directly to their campaign and said, I just want to talk to you about some things. If I'm going to drop out of the race or whatever, I want to talk to you about where I'm coming from.
They didn't respond, right?
They said absolutely. They wouldn't grant him a meeting. And Trump said, yeah, well, come over, have a meeting. And then he ended up being his Health and Human Services secretary.
There's a world in which just a few small tweaks are made where Donald Trump is not the president right now. And it really felt like the Democrats just fumbled the bag.
With easy things like this, too, because there's a lot of other stuff, but those
sure.
are the easy ones.
Yeah.
All right, short break. We'll be back at the 2 o'clock hour with a little bit of fun.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore.
Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.